to the Drill Report Hotline. At this time, it is my pleasure to introduce to you former ECW wrestler and a former NWA Intercontinental Tag Team Champion with Steve Corino. Tonight, I give you the one, the only CW Anderson. How you doing tonight, CW?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm very good, and at this time, I want to thank you for coming on the hotline tonight.
Oh, my pleasure.
It's a pleasure having you as a guest.
Thank you.
And I guess we'll start from the beginning, CW. How did you get started, or how did you get interested in becoming a professional wrestler?
Living right here in North Carolina, I've lived like in a 30-mile radius my whole life. I was growing up, it was the hotbed with the NWA, and coming down here to Dorton Arena, which is one of the places they film in Channel 5, watching that, I just got hooked on wrestling early. I always wanted to, try it or do it, but baseball is my first love. And when baseball went to the wayside in my early 20s, I figured, why not give it a try? So some buddies of mine were doing it. They took me to an independent show with them and got there early, and they got me in the ring and, rolling around, did a couple of things, and it just kind of took off from there doing independence, and, it just kind of escalated.
Who were you trained by?
I kind of trained myself. Well, I basically learned in the ring. There was a local school about 30 miles from here that we used to go to, and there was a couple of guys that were getting trained or almost the finished stages of training, and I would get in the ring and just do things with them and watch what they did, but nobody really, one person had hands-on training. Not until I got to the power plant did somebody take me under the wing.
Yeah, I was reading on your website. Go ahead and plug your website real quick.
ECWAnderson.com.
I was reading on your website that you have a very athletic background. You played baseball, was highly recruited, and I believe that was drafted by the San Diego Padres as a catcher.
Right, 1989.
So what made you give up baseball?
Being a young guy, my mom kind of talked me out of it. She said, go to college. Baseball will always be there. If you still want it when college finishes, take it from there. You can still play while you're in college, but get your education first. Plus, they weren't offering that much money back then. Before the Spanish invasion came in with baseball, catchers were, that could hit and throw and not really run were a rarity, especially around here. And so they were only going to sign me for like $25,000 with like a $2,000 signing bonus and ship me out of the, I think it was like somewhere like Nevada or somewhere.
As I recall, you were at one time a tag team partner with Simon Diamond. I think he also was drafted for baseball. Right?
He was drafted the year before I was by the same exact team.
Interesting. Where did you make your professional debut?
It was on December 4th of 93. I wrestled under a hood. I had only been back wrestling for a few months. And they put me under a hood to get my quote-unquote feet wet, to get in front of a crowd. And I think they called me something like El Chico or something. This is when Razor Ramon was huge at the time. And it was a little local promotion called CCWA or something. But it was in Smithfield. And it was against a guy named Jimmy Valentine or something like that.
Carolina Championship Wrestling Alliance.
Yeah. It was one of the more popular ones back in the early 90s around here in North Carolina, which, of course, they've all been long gone by now.
Now, I also read on your website that you're interested in not only wrestling in Japan, but maybe playing baseball over there, too.
Right. Steve Corino, he and I have been best friends ever since we've met, which was, right after I first got in the business, and, he's got a passion for baseball, as do I. So every time we go over to Japan, we take our gloves and throw. We try to find fields and hit, and it's become known, and actually the bosses at 0-1 have seen me throw and hit, and they, talked at one time of, getting some kind of sports media thing or sports publicity where I tried out for the Tokyo Giants, because I can still throw in the mid-80s, even though I was a catcher. I can still throw, I can still hit. So, I don't think I would do too bad and just be getting back in baseball shape again to try that. I want to be one of the first ones, because I think they said there has never been an American guy or gaijin that, played baseball and, as far as been a wrestler.
Yeah, I'm not aware of one.
One wrestler that has done it, but he was Japanese.
Okay. How did you get the ring name CW Anderson?
when that first night that I wrestled under the hood, there was a guy running the Anderson gimmick named Pat, and he had a tag team. His partner was Rocky. Both older gentlemen, they were 10, 15 years older than I was, and Rocky was getting ready to retire. Pat was looking at a tag partner because he ran a promotion called CCW up in Virginia, up around, somewhere on the coast of Virginia. I can't think of the name right off the top of my head. But he was looking for another tag partner, saw me wrestle. At the time, I only had a goatee, and he set me down with the owner and, you know, like, you know, my athleticism, the few skills I had in the ring, and figured if I grew a beard, I'd look like an Anderson, and asked me would I be interested in becoming one, and, you know, be his tag team partner and run up and down the East Coast with him, you know, going all different kind of shows. And I was like, sure, no problem. He's like, well, come up with some kind of name before my next show in a couple of weeks, and we'll go from there. So for 2 weeks, I sit there and was thinking, I was going, man, you know, Ike Anderson, that don't sound too good. Cal Anderson, he goes, three letters, you had Ole, Arn, and Pat. And one night I was doing some little TV interview here in this little local promotion, and a great friend of mine, Randy Driver, who I play golf with now, I said, look, I can't come up with anything, Mr. Randy. What are we going to do? He said, we'll just use your initials, call you CW, because my real name's Chris Wright.
Right.
So it just kind of stuck from there.
Okay. How did you get started with ECW?
It's kind of a lengthy story. When I started training, I was running a training school here, and I ended up training two guys, Brad Kane and Curtis White, who later, Brad Kane was the infamous Lodi with Raven's Flock, and Toad, who Curtis White turned out to be Toad, and did a little stint in WCW by the name of Frog, and used to tag with PG-13. They went down to the power plant and did that 3 days of hell tryout that, you know, all the big TV stations were doing stories on, from, you know, how tough Sergeant Bradley Parker was. So they were like, you know, you're just spinning your wheels down here in Carolina, CW, come on down and try out. They were trying to get me on a week that was going to be easy because they knew how hard it was. They said, well, Sarge just got a torn Achilles, you know, how about coming in February? So they told me what to do, you know, squats, push-ups, running, this is what we're going to do. So I got in 3 months of shape for that. Went through the tryout, passed it barely, stayed there about a year and a half, and I was getting extremely frustrated because at the time I was married, I was working 40 and 50 hours a week doing land surveying and coming down to WCW's power plant 3 days every other week, and just going to the school. And then it got to a point where it was getting so many people there, it was really unorganized at the time, to where there'd be 40 and 50 guys and two trying to train in two rings. So one weekend, Raven through Tommy Dreamer got Toad a tryout, and Toad and I had been running up and down wrestling each other. So every time we were wrestling, we were having great matches. So Toad thought he'd bring me in, he'd have a great match, you know, press Paul and the boys, and, you know, kind of get a job. So I really wasn't going to go. I was like, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to be bothered. It's down in Georgia. You know, I just want to hang out, you know, spend time with my wife or whatever. So he's like, come down. You know, at least you'll meet your politic. You know, you'll say hello and get your name out there. So he finally drugged me down there. And as he was trying out, he was trying out with somebody else. I was standing beside the ring and talking to Carino. And because he and I had known each other for a while. And Nova looks over at me and goes, Chris, you got your gear? And I'm like, well, yeah, it's in the car. So he said, run out and get it and put it on and see what you can do. So I went out to the car, put my stuff on, and got in the ring. And by that time, Paul Heyman walked in and sat down and started watching the tryouts. So I was in the ring with Simon. At the time, did a little five-minute spiel, got out of the ring, and Paul hollers at Fonz and tells him to get the ball guy back in the ring, which was me. I got back in the ring for like another hour and a half. They had me running almost like a gauntlet with different guys doing different things. And after the match, I went in the back, and I was bumping so hard and hitting the turnbuckle of the rope so hard, I was spitting up blood. So I was in the bathroom spitting up blood, trying to wipe my mouth, and Paul walks in the back and sticks out his hand and goes, hi, Paul Heyman, nice to meet you. I said, hey, I'm CW. We started talking, and he asked me where I was at. I said, I'm at WCW's power plant. He goes, well, Chris, are you on some kind of contract there? I said, no, sir. I said, J.J. Dillon and Paul Orndorff and those guys told me I didn't have a body or pretty much the skills to make it at WCW. He goes, well, stick around. Don't leave before I speak to you show's getting ready to start, and Jim Molyneux comes out and goes, which one is CW? And Roseman, he said, Paul's seat in the back. I walked back there, and he's sitting there with Danny Dorn, Roadkill, and Vito La Grossa. And I introduced me to him. Says, tonight, CW, you're tagging with Vito against Danny and Roadkill. Well,
number one of the Gorilla Report, and CW Anderson is here, and you finish up your story about how you get started with ECW.
Right. So, anyway, I go in the back. Paul's sitting there with Danny Dorn, Roadkill, and Vito La Grossa. Tonight, CW, you're tagging with Vito, and this is Danny against Danny and Roadkill. Welcome to ECW. And we were third match. That was June 6th of 99, and finished and was there ever since until the day it closed.
What were the overall impressions of Paul Heyman?
A genius with wrestling, in the wrestling business of it, the mind, as far as just angles he come up with, promos at the end of the night, you know, him handling every different guy and giving them their own promos and stuff he was coming up with off of his head, and just how he could take guys that didn't have great looks, but ability, and make superstars out of them.
Yeah, I think his strength was he could take a wrestler that had some abilities, but had some limitations, but hide their weakness, like a Mike Awesome.
Yeah.
Who, looked very good in the ECW, but then when he was out of the ECW water back into another promotion,
yeah,
they didn't know how to book him, and so suddenly he had a lot of flaws. So
it was, Shane Helms and I, Hurricane Helms, are really good friends. We grew up together, and he told me that once Mike got there, he couldn't believe how small he was because, you know, again, compared to everybody at ECW, he looked like a giant. And he says he comes to WCW where they're already big guys, and he just looks minute.
What was it like training at the WCW power plant?
The first 3 days was three of the worst things I've ever done and put my body through. I didn't know my body, you know, you never know what your body can go through until you push it past exertion. I hated Sarge those 3 days. You know, I was coming home. I drove home that night, and Lodi was driving me home, and I was passed out literally from exhaustion. And I would wake up screaming, you know, having nightmares of him hollering in my face. But after that, it was great. Really unorganized. You know, they threw everything on Sarge and Piz Wally and Mike Winter to, you know, to train these guys, and they didn't really know what they had. And it got to a point where there was so much going on that Sarge sent guys to me to help train. You know, he would send them, you know, let CW show you this thing, because Toad was down there with me as well. And he was like, let CW and Toad show you these things. And this is when Mike Sanders was first getting his start, Lash LaRue, Elix Skipper, Chuck Palumbo, and those guys. You know, he was sending them to me to work out. That was getting really frustrating because these guys were getting little dark matches and little developmental deals, and I wasn't getting crap.
Right. You recently did a dark match for TNA. How did that go, and what were you told after the match?
I thought the match went great. Opened the show with Chad Taylor tagging against Shark Boy and D-Ray, and it was a little 5-minute match, and the buzz behind and some of the agents there said we had best match of the night. You know, Bill Barrios was the one that got me to try out. We did Explosion, and you know, he said now that he see me working, you know, we could push, you know, for me coming back. A lot of the guys were happy that I was there. You know, finally Kid Cash was, his exact words were, finally they're bringing somebody in that could heal good. You know, be a true heel, old school heel. Because that, you know, Kid Cash is a big fan of that. Talked to Jared and Dutch Mantel, and there was really nothing as far as, you know, when I was coming back or whatever, but I got a good feeling when I left, and I just went to do it to show him what I could do. Jared said he had heard of me and had seen my work and loved my work, but I don't think he got a chance to watch me that night.
What do you think of the six-sided ring?
Very interesting. It was the first time I'd ever worked in one of those, and I actually had liked it. First, you know, it was whoever built it. It used to build WCW rings, I'm guessing, because it was the same bump, the same ropes, everything. But it was a very interesting ring, but it was fun to work in.
What was it like to meet? You recently met Ole Anderson. How did that go, and what did you think overall?
It didn't go as well as I thought it was going to. You know, you hear the stories about how better this old man is, and I didn't believe it till I got there. And he one time at WCW. This was before, ECW, of course, and Lodi introduced me. You know, this is Chris Wright. He's down at the power plant. Blah blah blah. And but he never, he never told Arn I was, running management. You know, Arn was like, it's great to meet you. But after I went to ECW and started making a name for myself there, Shane Helms was sitting in the locker room at WCW and said that one of the kids there said, Arn, there's a guy at WCW or ECW using the Anderson thing. And Arn said, well, I hope he has better success with it than I have. And Bill Apter told me one day that, Arn's seen me work and gave me his blessing and said I was a great wrestler or something like that. But I never got a chance to meet Gene before he passed away.
Do you currently watch the WWE product?
Absolutely not.
Okay. why is that?
It's the interest in me watching wrestling has gone. I got so hooked on WOW for watching Japanese wrestling. I wouldn't hardly watch anything here in the States. But disgust, I guess you could say, of seeing what it's become now. This wrestling's always a high and low point, and it's in a bad low point right now, and I just can't stop sitting there and watch it.
At this point in career, what do you consider your biggest strength, and what do you consider your biggest weakness?
Definitely my biggest weakness is my body, which I'm definitely working on. I think I was talking to Jerry Lynn, and I think that's one of the things holding me back, from a lot of things, is my body. One, I've always looked at it, Arn was never in that great a shape, and I'm never going to be one of those, sculpted bodybuilders that you see on TV now. I always thought my wrestling spoke for itself.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Along the same lines, you've done a lot of tag team wrestling and a lot of singles wrestling. Which do you prefer?
I think tags, because I think my psychology is stronger. I think either way, I'm as good either way, but I think as far as psychology-wise, my tags are stronger, because when I was at WCW, Sarge would drill that in my head, and that was my specialty at ECW, was, tag team wrestling.
Now, you've had a lot of partners in your career. Which has been the best partner?
Got to be Steve. Steve and I, we've literally have traveled all over the world together, and we wrestle each other in Australia, we tag together in Japan, up and down in the United States we've tagged, and we do the Extreme Horsemen. Steve's definitely my favorite partner as far as in the ring. I think Simon Diamond and I look better in the ring, because they've always been called the new age Tully and Arn, and I just think I'm comfortable in the ring with Steve because he and I are so close.
How did the Extreme Horsemen gimmick come along?
We were working for TCW, which was Dusty Rhodes' Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling down in Georgia. And, he had a lot of the veterans coming in, working Barry Windham, Mike Graham, Manny Fernandez. And he had the idea of putting myself, Carino, and Barry Windham together and calling us the Extreme Horsemen, because Barry was a big baby face down there at the end. And going down there and wrestling for Dusty in front of those crowds, just like wrestling for the NWA, you didn't have to do the stuff you do now. It was really old school. So that night we beat up Dusty and Dustin, and had people literally climbing in the ring out of the crowd trying to get to us. And it was formed that night, with the Extreme Horsemen, myself, Carino, and Barry. And then, Barry kind of went to...
It's option number two of the Bureau of Report, and we're back with C.W. Anderson, and I appreciate you hanging on the line with us. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the ECW days, okay. And what did you think of the Dangerous Alliance, and how was it to work with Sign Guy Dudley?
Lou and I have become close friends, and we become, because we used to ride up and down the road together. This is way before we put the Dangerous Alliance together. When the Dudleys left, he was asked who he wanted to manage, and he said me, which was, I thought, was an honor, because I loved Lou's gimmick as Sign Guy. And when Bill and I started tagging together, and then a thing come along with Lou, we were put together as a joke. Paul put us together thinking we would never get over, and he, so we started getting over as a good tag team, and it started getting to a point where we were becoming a great tag team, and people
I assume you were there to the very end?
To the bitter end. Even when we did the last thing in Arkansas, and a lot of the names didn't come in because they weren't getting paid.
What was the morale like towards the end? Because it seemed like a lot of the wrestlers were totally kept in the dark what was going on, and then, you know, really the plug was just pulled on it, and it was all over.
Everybody had high hopes that Paul was going to pull this thing out. He always told us, you know, I got a great deal working for us, for you guys to get on USA. I'm out in Los Angeles every week. Come to find out, you know, the liar was out there filming the movie Rollerball. We had high hopes, and that last tour in Arkansas, it was like, you know, you were losing your best friend because all of us were so close. It was such a family. We went in the ring the last show and drank a beer, and all of us in the back were crying because we knew this was it for us. You know, to Jerry, Super Crazy, myself, Fred, Dean, Lou, Jack Victory, we were all upset and crying because that was it for us. You know, this family we were so close to, it was getting torn apart. I myself was extremely kept in dark. I didn't know we were bankrupt or didn't know we were closed until I saw Paul come on TV on WWE. I heard he had $27 million offered to him to save ECW and didn't take it because he couldn't produce our books because he never kept them. I literally went in like an 8-month depression after losing it because I've worked my whole career to be, you know, to make it in this wrestling business, and then after a year and a half, it was taken from me. I wasn't fired or anything like that. You know, it was taken from me.
Do you have bitter feelings towards Paul Heyman?
Yeah. Anybody that says they don't, there's something wrong with them. A lot of us do because, one, we're still owed money. Two, he was lied to us. You know, there's hardly any promoters or anybody that I trust in this wrestling business because of being lied to by him, you know, week in and week out, and, you know, not getting paid. Hell, I lost my marriage, my house, my vehicle because of ECW.
That's very sad. Not to totally change the subject, but what do you consider your best match?
There's up at the top, there's two. My quit match with Tommy Dreamer, that seems what a lot of people remember the most. And there was one I did on my very last tour that nobody really gets to see except a few people, which was Steve Carino, Loki, and Spanky, because they were ringside. It was against Masato Tanaka for the 0-1, like, U.S. Championship or whatever. And, you know, I had 3,000 or 4,000 Japanese literally standing on their feet at that match. But, you know, you can ask those guys how great that match was.
I would say probably following ECW days, a quick rebound would have been getting back to Japan. How did the Japan situation come along for you?
They were looking for another American talent to come over, and Carino mentioned my name through email, and they were thinking, you know, I was going to cost too much money and this, that, and the other. And one day, Masato Tanaka was at the office and intercepted the email, so to speak. He was sitting there with Nakamura, who's the boss, and was reading it. And when they saw that he had mentioned me, Tanaka was like, please bring CW. CW is very good, you know, would do well in Japan. And so they give me one shot, you know, or one tour tryout, and I've been there like two and a half years ever since.
Now, you're kind of in between tours. Do you know when you're going to go back to Japan?
No, not right yet. Since I'm not full-time, you know, it's usually, I usually go a few tours on, a few tours off, but this is like the longest I've been in 2.5 years without going back. And since they've changed owners and this, that, and the other, and cut back on Gaijin, which is, you know, the foreign wrestlers, it may be a little bit longer, so who knows when I'm going to go back.
Okay, two questions. Can you speak Japanese one, and how do the fans compare here in America and then in Japan?
I can, Choto Nihongo, which means I can speak a little Japanese.
Okay.
And the other question was about the fans.
Yeah, how do they compare?
I love the fans over there because they're not as exposed to the business as they're over here. They seems like they appreciate more. You know, you get a lot of mat wrestling and get huge reactions over there. And they're very respectful out back, asking for your autograph and this, that, and they always have their stuff ready. They're not like the kids and the adults here just throwing stuff in your face. They're so respectful. And plus, all the men come to the shows in suits, and the women come dressed up. It's a big event.
Wow. What are your career goals?
One, It seems like, you know, I control the crowd, I control the match, and it seems like I'm a better heel than a face, because I'm not a good looking guy, I don't think, to be that baby face.
What has been your career highlight so far?
That match with Tommy Dreamer, the I Quit match, not only the match, but afterwards, as I'm getting out of the ring, the 3,000 fans at the Hammerstein, if you look at the DVD and listen closely while they're doing a review of my match, you can hear the fans chanting CF and Dub. They were chanting my name for that match and giving me a standing ovation.
That's awesome. You won a lot of titles in your career. Does any of the titles stand out as any of them being real special to you?
The NWA Intercontinental Tag Titles Carino and I held for 6 months over in Japan, because we're one of the few American tag teams, not these throw together that you're giving the belt, that held them. And, you know, we beat Sato, Kohei Sato, and I can't remember Yokoi's first name, but we beat them for the belt and lost them to Shijiro, Tani, and Masato Tanaka, which was a great match. But having that title run over in Japan, you know, putting my face on the map, so to speak, and also being in Japanese video games is another highlight of it.
Yeah, that's really cool, isn't it?
Yeah. Because their video games are so much better than the Americans.
Tell the fans, CW, your upcoming shows that you're booked for.
Right now, the next one is this weekend in Kinston, North Carolina. Working a guy, Brad Hunter, and that's pretty much all I have right now. I have a direct TV business that I'm trying to get up and running, so when wrestling's over it, I'll have something to do. But right now, for this month, September, all right now is the Kinston one, and October 2nd, I'm in Dunn, North Carolina, for Law Promotions. It's live action wrestling. It's lawprowrestling.com.
How's the golf lessons going?
I've actually only had three, and I think I've gotten good, or I've gotten a lot better, because my brother has been playing it 2.5 years. The last time he and I played, he quit on hole 8 because I was beating him so bad. I'll shoot in like the low 90s now, or I've shot 89s and 86s before.
I'm sorry, really, really quickly out of time, I want to take this opportunity to do the interview tonight. I really appreciate you having the line. I really enjoyed doing it.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
Once again, before you go, why don't you plug your website and tell them what they can find at the website.
ECWAnderson.com. You can see all my merchandise, commentary, things that's happened to me in the past few months, which is extremely interesting. DVDs, all my travels throughout the world. You can see pictures and stuff of that. So pretty much anything you want, you can find it. And you also find it, contact info for finding me online.
Well, very good. Thanks a lot, CW.